Fong, what took you so long to get up here? Delalee demanded. She was nervous, scared almost. Tension was undulating from the closet like heat.
I ate dinner. Then I waited to see if Raleigh Pelham would come out of the sitting room alive.
Check your messages, Delalee said.
What?
Check your cell phone messages.
Josie went to her purse on the lounge chair. She pulled out the cell phone. There was one message. She retrieved it and put the phone to her ear, staring at Delalee in the closet while she listened.
Hi, Josie, it's Chloe.
Pause.
I really wish I could talk to you. I'm at Julian's house right now. I know I told you I wasn't going to see him again. I didn't mean to lie. Out of the blue, he came to see me today. He took me to see the woman Jake slept with. I'm not sure why I thought it would make me feel better. It made me feel worse because I know now why he wouldn't tell me, and it really was for a good reason.
Another pause.
I saw Jake earlier this week. I don't think I told you. He found out I was buying the house. I wanted to tell him that I wanted him there with me, but then his father came up to us, and I got a bad feeling that he was telling Jake to move on. I miss him, Josie. I'm not supposed to because he hurt me, but I do.
Chloe took a deep breath.
Anyway, I'm here with Julian. He's in the next room pouring drinks. He's not all bad, you know. I know you think he is, but he's not. I kind of like him. Not in the way I like Jake, but he doesn't have to be Jake. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Josie slowly lowered the phone.
Go,
Delalee said frantically.
Come with me. Go!
Josie turned and ran out of the room. She got in her car and raced down the street, forgetting to turn on her headlights until she was at the bottom of the hill and a car coming in the opposite direction flashed its high beams to tell her she was driving dark. She made it to Delalee's house in under 15 minutes. Chloe's car was there, and Josie pulled to a stop behind the Beetle at the curb. The lights were on in the living room, and music was pounding from the house. She could almost see the house throb with the force of each bass note. It was a wonder the neighbors hadn't called the cops. Josie got out and ran up the walkway, then up the stairs, shivering in her light sweater and skirt because she hadn't stopped to grab a coat when she left the house. She went to the living room windows and looked in, trying to make out images through the thin curtains. There was no movement inside. She went to the door and opened the screen. The door was locked, so she knocked. When that didn't get a response, she began pounding on the door and calling out Chloe's name until her fist hurt and her voice turned raspy. Chloe was a grown woman. If this was anyone else but Julian, Josie wouldn't be doing this. But if Delalee and all her rough ways couldn't handle Julian, Chloe didn't have a chance. She had no idea what she was getting herself into. Not every man was like Jake. Not every man was sorry when he hurt a woman. She went back down the steps and picked her way around the house, scratching her legs on the thorns of a dead rosebush and falling once in the darkness. She managed to find the back door off the kitchen, but it was locked too. The only thing besides her keys that Josie had taken with her was the cell phone she still had clutched in her hand when she ran out. She went back to her car and got in, her teeth chattering. She fished the phone out from under the seat where it had fallen, and she fumbled with the buttons. She called 911.
"This is Marcy Jackson, and my neighbor won't turn down his music," she said, exaggerating her accent. "It's so loud that it's shaking my windows and it woke up the baby. The whole neighborhood is complaining. He's a nuisance."
She gave the address, and they promised to send someone out. Josie hung up and stared at the house. She leaned forward when she suddenly caught some movement coming from inside. A shadow moved by the curtains. Josie got out of the car again. She was at the bottom of the porch steps when she heard the tumble of the deadbolt, and then the door flung open. The music from inside rushed out like smoke, louder than ever. Chloe appeared, her shirt half off and her lipstick smeared. She was carrying her coat and purse. Her words were muted by the music. It sounded something like, "I thought I could." Josie started up the steps. Chloe was just pushing open the screen door when Julian came up behind her and put his arms around her in an embrace, causing her to drop her coat and purse.
"Come on, baby," he said, talking loudly over the music. He sounded drunk. "Don't make me do it like this. It'll be good. I can make everything okay. I'm magic that way. You'll see."
"Let me go, please," Chloe said weakly, like she didn't understand what was happening, like she needed a good deep breath of air.
Julian turned and pushed her into the living room. He tried to close the door, but Chloe's purse and coat prevented him from doing so. He knelt to move them out of the way, and when he looked up, Josie was there.
"I'll be a fucking monkey's uncle," he said, slowly straightening. "The thief returns."
He was wearing boots and unbuttoned jeans, but nothing else. The smooth tan skin of his bare chest almost crackled with electricity. Josie opened the screen door and called into the house,
"Chloe! Chloe, come on!" "Josie? Is that you?"
Chloe came running up to the door. Julian blocked her way, his hands gripping the door casing, regarding Josie with a leer.
"Let her go," Josie said.
Chloe started pulling at Julian's arms from behind.
"Julian, please. I told you I was sorry. I just can't do this."
"I had $300 in that wallet," he said to Josie, his voice a seductive hiss. "How about the money in exchange for Chloe? Will you give me more if she's unfucked?"
He tried to close the door in Josie's face, but Chloe's coat and purse were still there. Josie caught the door and pushed against it as hard as she could. He pushed back for a few seconds, then he quickly stepped away, sending Josie flying into the house. Julian kicked Chloe's things out of the doorway and started to close the door. Josie took Chloe's hand and was about to run to the bedroom at the end of the hall. She prayed the door had a lock and that they could get to it before Julian got to them. The police would surely be here soon. But then Julian's long hair suddenly flew behind him, off his shoulders, like a sharp wind had blown through the door. He staggered back toward the kitchen at the other end of the living room.
"What the fuck?" he said,
when the wind blew at him again, sending him falling through the swinging kitchen door. Josie saw the clear path and darted for the front door with Chloe. She had no idea what was going on until she heard Julian say,
"Tallalee, is that you?"
Josie grabbed Chloe's coat and purse and ran out just as they heard one crash, then another, like dishes being thrown, broken.
"Get away from me, bitch!"
Julian yelled. How on earth did Tallalee get here? She must have come in through the back door. She rushed Chloe to the Cadillac and got her into the passenger seat. She saw the police cruiser at the four-way stop down the street. Thank God. She ran to the other side of the car and got in, pulling away from the curb as the cruiser turned down the street. She didn't want Chloe to have to explain what she was doing there. In her rearview mirror, she saw the cruiser come to a stop in front of Della Lee's house. Two patrolmen got out. She parked at the end of the road and watched as they walked up the steps and banged on the screen door. Chloe was shakily adjusting her clothing. She tugged on her coat and sat shivering in the seat.
"Are you all right?" Josie asked her.
Chloe nodded and pulled her knees to her chest. Josie caught some movement and looked back at the house. Julian had shot out of the door. One of the patrolmen caught him by the arm, and Julian struggled against him, swinging his fist and catching the patrolman across the jaw. The other patrolman tackled Julian on the porch, and together they cuffed him.
"Chloe, stay here. I'll be right back."
Josie left the car running and the heater on high, then got out. Neighbors had come out of their homes, and a few were on the sidewalk in front of Della Lee's house. Josie walked up behind them. Julian was yelling,
"Get her out of my house! She's crazy! The woman is crazy!"
One of the patrolmen entered the house, and a few seconds later the loud music that was holding the neighborhood hostage stopped. The patrolman came back out, shaking his head.
"She's in there! I swear to God, someone is in there. She threw plates at me.
Josie backed away from the crowd, then jogged back to the car. Della Lee had left. Josie didn't want to imagine how she got there, or how she was going to get back. The words, Grand Theft Auto, crossed her mind. Chloe was leaning her head against the passenger side window when Josie got in. I'm going to take you home now, okay? Chloe nodded. Chloe stared out of the passenger side window. Every muscle in her body was tight, and her stomach was churning. If she didn't move, if she kept her teeth clenched, maybe she wouldn't get sick. She bolted out of the car and raced ahead of Josie, right after Josie parked in the lot beside the old firehouse. She knew Josie was following her, so she left the apartment door open and ran to the bathroom. She went to her knees in front of the commode and started to retch. She stayed there on the cool tile floor for about 10 minutes, her eyes closed, images of the evening swimming through her head. Desperation. Despite everything, this evening was still about desperation. She'd been desperate with Jake. She was desperate without him. When would it ever stop? Suddenly, she knew she wasn't alone anymore. She'd left the bathroom door open, so she assumed it was Josie. She shakily made her way to her feet and turned to the door, but no one was there. Her eyes went to the floor, and there, in the doorway, was a stack of books. The book on the bottom was Finding Forgiveness, the Old War Horse. Even though books hated the bathroom, Finding Forgiveness was halfway across the threshold, as if carrying the other books toward her. You're going to get wet, she said, as she walked to the sink. She turned on the faucet and splashed her face, then washed her mouth out. She dried her face and pulled her hair back into a ponytail. When she turned to leave, the books were still there. A little farther in, tiny droplets of water from the sink on the tile all around them. She picked them up. Finding Forgiveness, Old Love, New Direction, A Girl's Guide to Keeping Her Guy, Madame Bovary, and The Complete Homeowner's Guide. She carried them into the bedroom and set them on the nightstand. She stared at the stack, the syllabus of her life for the past month, a map of what she'd been through. Then she couldn't look anymore and turned away. After changing into sweats, she walked back into the living room. Josie was pacing, but stopped when Chloe appeared. Are you okay? She was grateful for Josie, for her friendship. It had come at the best, the worst, and the most unexpected time in her life. I don't know. I don't know anything anymore. How did you know where Julian lived? Josie hesitated. It's a long story. Did he hurt you? No. Chloe went to the couch and sat, tucking her legs under her and grabbing a pillow to hug. But I knew what he wanted. I've known that all along. Josie came to sit beside her. I thought I could do it, Chloe said. It wouldn't have been cheating. Jake and I aren't together. We're so not together, I'm buying a house by myself. But I couldn't do it. I love Jake too much. Why didn't Jake love me enough not to do it? It wasn't because I didn't love you enough, Chloe. Jake said from the doorway. Josie and Chloe both turned, startled. Jake was standing there, his hair disheveled, his coat buttoned wrong. Adam was to his right, behind him in the hallway. I love you more than my own life. Chloe looked at Josie. I called Adam while you were in the bathroom, Josie said as she stood. I'm sorry. I didn't know what else to do. But I didn't ask him to come over, I swear. Jake entered the room and Adam followed, reaching around Jake to take Josie's hand. Come on, Adam said. Let's go. No, Josie said, trying to shake him off. It's okay, Josie, Chloe said. I can stay. No, this needed to be done. It's okay, really. Chloe watched Adam lead Josie toward the door. She could tell Josie was not happy with him. As soon as the door closed, Jake knelt in front of the couch where she was sitting and said, "Chloe, look at me." She met his eyes, those magnetic light green eyes. "It was Eve Beasley," he said.
"I know."
Jake looked poleaxed.
"You do? Who told you?"
"It doesn't matter."
"I didn't mean for it to happen. Neither did she. We instantly regretted it, and we haven't seen each other since. I don't blame it on the case. I am to blame. I know that. And if I could take it back, I would. I'm so sorry."
He tried to take her hands, but she hid them behind the pillow she was holding.
"I miss you, Chloe."
"What about your family? Your father said to stay away from me, and your mother brought me a parting gift."
She jerked her chin toward the Christmas basket on the coffee table.
"My dad wanted me to stay away from you until you were ready. He didn't want me to push you. He wants you in our family. My mom brought the basket because she wants to be in your life, whether or not it's through me. It's their insane way of saying they love you."
Jake shook his head.
"We're parts of a crazy whole, Chloe, but we don't make sense without you. I don't make sense."
There was a clapping sound, and a book that was sitting on the arm of the couch fell to the floor beside them, Finding Forgiveness. Chloe pinched her lips together, tears coming to her eyes as she stared at the book. Paper, string, and glue. Separately, they were just objects waiting for a purpose. Together, they were parts of a whole. Something significant, something solid. They were a lot like relationships that way.
"Let's start over, Chloe," Jake said, and she lifted her eyes to meet his.
"Let me call you up and ask you on a date.
I'll knock on the door to your house. I'll have flowers. I'll be nervous. I'll wait until the third date to kiss you, though I'll think about it every second until I do. Then, that night you finally let me stay over, I'll whisper promises, promises I'll always keep. I'll promise I will never, ever hurt you. I'll promise to die before I do."
The first time, they didn't have time for a conventional courtship. It had been very hot, very fast. Could they really start over and then do it the traditional way?
"Never do this to me again, Jake."
She tried to say it harshly, but her voice shook.
"I won't."
She lifted her chin.
"I have books."
"I know."
"A lot of books. And they're going to be around from now on. You have to accept that."
"I've never had a problem with your books, Chloe. They're who you are."
Jake slowly leaned in. The closer he came, the stronger the draw, like food when you're hungry or a bed when you're tired. He moved the pillow away and wrapped his arms around her. She found herself nuzzling him, hiding her face in his neck. She would always be desperate about him. Even now, breathing the scent of his skin, she could feel it. But she wasn't as disoriented as she used to be. She didn't feel that panic. She felt a strange sort of grounding, like she knew she wasn't going to lose her way anymore. She turned her head on Jake's shoulder to look at Finding Forgiveness again, but it was gone. Josie kept looking back at the apartment door as Adam led her down the stairs.
"She'll be fine. You know they need to do this, or you wouldn't have called," Adam said.
"I called because I was worried that Chloe was sick," Josie said, nervous that Chloe might be angry with her. "I didn't ask you to bring Jake over."
"You didn't have to ask. It was obvious that's what needed to be done."
Josie pulled her hand out of his and jerked open the door at the bottom of the stairs.
"I told you. I told you from the beginning of all this that it wasn't our place to get in the middle of their relationship."
"Yes, you said that," Adam said calmly, following her out onto the cold sidewalk.
She could see that he'd parked on the street. Her car was looming large around the corner in the parking lot. And, as I recall, I didn't agree. Bringing them together tonight is good for them.
How do you know? You have no idea what she went through tonight.
Then why don't you tell me?
She'd walked right into that one.
Chloe just had a bad night, that's all.
In other words, you're not going to tell me.
Josie rubbed her arms, trying to close herself off from the cold.
It's not my secret to share.
Adam frowned.
Where's your coat?
At home. I left in a hurry.
He shrugged out of his yellow, thin slate jacket.
Here, he said, holding it out for her. She slipped into it.
They're going to be fine. I promise.
Do you want to go somewhere? Get something to eat, maybe?
He stared at her, his hands resting on her shoulders.
She almost reached up to touch her mouth, even though she knew she hadn't eaten in hours.
Old habits die hard.
Or we could go to my house, he said with a significance she couldn't ignore. Jake and I just had a pizza delivered when you called. It might not be cold yet.
She felt her chest catch, setting off a wild array of racing shivers. This past week they'd upped the notch of intimacy every time they met. Short, desperate surges in the dark of her porch or his SUV after she'd sneaked out. No one could see. No one would know. It was a secret, like most everything else in her life. It was easier that way. Easier to work around her fear instead of facing it. Easier not to tell her mother. Now he was asking her to put it out in the open, and despite everything, despite wanting it more than she wanted her next breath, she hesitated.
I don't know.
He dropped his hands.
Are you mad at me?
No.
But you're going to use this as an excuse not to come home with me.
She turned away from him and looked up at the brick firehouse. It was outlined in small white Christmas lights, making it look like gingerbread.
That's not fair.
It is what it is. You're scared.
So are you.
But I asked anyway.
Josie closed her eyes.
What do you want me to say, Adam?
I want you to say yes.
What are we really changing here?
Nothing. We're still stuck in our same patterns. We're still stuck here.
If I stay with you tonight, it will be all over town by tomorrow.
He looked genuinely confused.
So?
You really don't understand, do you? I still hide. I still sneak out of my mother's house because I don't want her disapproval. I still worry about what people here think of me.
Then let's leave, he said quietly.
She gaped at him.
You're not serious.
I'm completely serious. I've met your mother, so I understand why you do it.
But making you hide isn't fair to you, and it's not fair to me.
Neither of us wants to be here. Let's go.
You would leave? She asked incredulously.
Really?
I would leave.
He took a deep breath.
But only with you.
She couldn't believe what she did next.
She left, all right,
and ran home.
Helena met Josie at the door.
Oldsie, bad thing leave tonight, she said excitedly. Leave when you leave. But it come back. It here now.
At least Della Lee had gotten home safely.
I know, Josie said tiredly. It won't be long before she leaves for good. I promise.
Good night.
Wait. Oldgrit want to see you.
Helena made an apologetic face and pointed toward the light coming from the sitting room.
She wait up.
Oh, hell. She squeezed her eyes shut for a moment. She'd just been worried about getting caught, and then suddenly she was. Her life was one big self-fulfilling prophecy.
Oldsie?
She opened her eyes and tried to smile.
It's okay. Thanks, Helena.
Then she did the death march to the sitting room. Margaret was in her nightgown, sitting in her favorite chair. She looked up and set aside her magazine. "Where have you been?" she demanded. "And whose jacket is that?"
Josie looked down. She'd forgotten she had it on. There was no use denying who it belonged to.
"It's Adam's."
"I won't have you acting this way, do you hear me? I had enough of you embarrassing me when you were a child. Imagine my surprise when I got up to tell you something, only to find you gone. For days now I've suspected you've been sneaking out after I've taken my sleeping pill. Well, I didn't take one tonight."
"You're not a silly teenager, Josie. I won't have you acting like this."
"I'm sorry, Mother."
That was what she wanted, Josie thought. She wanted Josie cowed. She wasn't even trying to disguise it with false concern or backhanded compliments anymore. She stood up and said, less harshly, "I wanted to tell you to pick up pork tenderloins at the grocery store tomorrow. I left instructions with Helena on how to prepare them. Raleigh Pelham will be dining with me tomorrow, and I remember he likes them. He's my guest, and I would prefer if you would stay in your room when I'm with him. Also, I won't be needing you to drive me to my eye appointment tomorrow. I'll be taking a cab for the foreseeable future."
Josie watched her mother walk toward the door with her cane. She couldn't believe what she'd just heard.
"What am I supposed to do, then?"
"You're supposed to behave. Don't see that Finley girl or the mailman, and don't sneak out again. What would the neighbors think if they saw you? And what if I had needed you tonight?"
"You just said you didn't need me, Mother,"
Josie laughed, but with an edge very close to crying. She'd just run away from the man she loved because she couldn't let go of the faraway hope that if she stayed long enough, one day Margaret would love her, accept her, forgive her. "When is it ever going to be enough? When are you ever going to forgive me? Why did you even have me? Was it really just to keep his money?"
Margaret set her jaw and walked past Josie. "I'm going to bed now."
Josie followed her and stood at the base of the steps as her mother walked up.
Was he really that bad?
Margaret didn't answer until she reached the top of the steps. Then she stopped, her back to Josie.
"Yes, he was,"
she finally said as she disappeared down the hallway.
"And you look just like him."
Josie stared at the place her mother had been. It had taken her 27 years to finally figure this out. Margaret wasn't going to be happy as long as Josie was there, but she would never tell her to leave. And Josie wasn't going to be happy until she left, but she wanted her mother to tell her to go. This wasn't about forgiveness. It never had been. This was about two women punishing themselves for no good reason. And it was time for it to end. 20 minutes later, Josie said, "Can I come in?" Adam hesitated in his doorway, then stood back. "Of course." She walked into the living room of his house. It was sparse, temporary. Second-hand furniture for the most part, an unusual blue couch with purple cushions, a 1970s-era orange reading chair, and some scarred end tables. The large leather recliner and flat-screen TV above the fireplace stood out. Those were deliberate purchases for comfort.
"I think I'm scared of your furniture," she said, trying to smile, but it made her lips tremble, so she stopped.
"I was living day by day here at first. Not sure what I should do, just that I wanted to be still. I bought a bed, the recliner, and the television, all I thought I needed. Then every once in a while someone at work would say they were getting rid of something, and I asked if I could have it. This is what happens when bad furniture happens to good people. I do actually have some great furniture, but it's all stored in my brother's basement in Chicago."
She turned her back on him to look around some more. The television was on, and she pretended to watch it. He came up behind her and took off her jacket. His jacket. She jumped a little and turned to face him. They stared at each other for a moment. "Why are you here, Josie?" She took a deep breath. She'd thought of things she would say to him on the drive over here, elegant things about fear and love, and pithy things about both running to him and running away. But what she ended up saying was simply, "You go, I go." He dropped the jacket, and in one step he was in front of her, his hands on her face, kissing her. There was no lead-up. It was all at once frantic, hands everywhere. Still kissing, he backed her to the couch, then pushed her down to the cushions, angling his body over hers. His kiss was deeper this way, hungry, like she was candy. He feasted on her. His hands went to the sides of her sweater and slowly brought it up. Her muscles quivered and her skin prickled. He broke their kiss to pull the sweater over her head. Her nipples tightened as he looked down at her, breathing heavily. He hovered above her, his curly blonde hair falling across his forehead. "What?" she asked in response to his stare. "I was afraid I'd pushed you away for good tonight. It was all about speed with me. I've always gone too fast."
"But that's exactly what I need, Adam."
"You go, I go," he whispered, as he undid the buttons on his shirt and shrugged out of it. There was a thick white scar on the left side of his chest, just under his ribcage. She nodded and reached out to touch his scar. He kissed her again, urgently, their skin-on-skin friction electric. His hands went up to cup her breasts through her bra. She thought she was going to faint. But no, she couldn't faint. Then she would miss this. She didn't realize that she had squeezed her eyes shut and was taking deep breaths through her nose until Adam broke their kiss and looked down at her.
"Josie?"
"I'm here," she said, putting her hands in his hair and bringing his head back down. "I'm here." She was distantly aware that the 11 o'clock news had just come on, and the lead story was the body that had been found in the Green Cove River that morning. Not breaking their kiss, Adam stretched one hand above her and reached for the remote control on the end table. The news anchor started the broadcast by saying, "We are now able to confirm identification of the body as that of 37-year-old Della Lee Baker of Bald Slope." Josie suddenly sat up, so fast she knocked heads with Adam.
"Wait! Stop!" she said, putting her hand on his and lowering it so he couldn't use the remote.
She turned to the television. "Baker's abandoned car was found in a grassy area this afternoon near the Green Cove Bridge, where officials also discovered what appears to be a suicide note. Baker had a long criminal record that included assault, solicitation, DWI convictions, and shoplifting." They showed an arrest photo of Della Lee. She was smiling, like she wanted it to be a pretty picture of her.
"In breaking news, we've also learned that her live-in boyfriend, Julian Wallace, also of Bald Slope, was arrested tonight on unrelated charges, assaulting an officer who was responding to a disturbing the peace call at the home the couple shared. Wallace confirmed to police that Baker has been missing for weeks, which supports the coroner's initial findings that the body appears to have been in the water for an extended period. At this time, officials do not suspect foul play. We'll have more on our morning broadcast, including an interview with the jogger who found the body."
"Josie, what's wrong?" Adam said, threading his hands in her hair, trying to get her to look at him, but her eyes were fixed on the screen.
"You look like you've seen a ghost."
That made her turn to him. Suddenly her chest hurt. She couldn't breathe. She quickly stood, disengaging herself from him in a tangle of arms and legs, pinches and pulls. She grabbed her sweater from the floor.
"I've got to go home."
"What?" he said, clearly thrown by her abrupt change in mood.
"Wait, Josie." But she was already out the door. Josie shot into her house and ran up the stairs in the dark, not even giving Helena time to pop her head out of her room. When she got to her bedroom, she threw open the closet door.
"Thank God,"
she said, going to her knees in front of Della Lee, who was in her familiar sitting position on the sleeping bag. She was wearing the clothes that she had on the first day Josie saw her, cropped white T-shirt, blue jeans, and only one shoe. Her hair was heavy and flat again. "Helena said you'd come home, but I had to make sure. You'll never believe what they're saying about you on the news."
Della Lee just stared at her. She didn't seem curious at all.
"There was a body found in the Green Cove River. Your car was found near the bridge, so they think it's you."
She still didn't say anything. Josie's heart was pounding. She felt strange, like she was halfway between the real world and a dream.
"You know what's funny? There was a moment there when they said your name that I thought about how I never see you eat anything, how you never let me touch you, how you move around without anyone seeing you at night, and you're going to love this. I thought, what if it's Della Lee's ghost in my closet?"
Della Lee remained quiet. She didn't even blink. Cold prickles rose on Josie's skin. Blood rushed to her head.
"Isn't that funny?"
"It's time for me to leave, Josie," Della Lee said. Josie laughed, a tad hysterically.
"What are you talking about? Mr. Lamar's letter hasn't even come."
"Josie,
and we both know what it will say, right? You'll wait until the letter comes, and we'll laugh over how you tried to convince me."
"Josie," Della Lee said loudly. Josie finally stopped. "You made the right decision tonight. I could feel it. You don't need me any longer."
"I know I said I wanted you to go, but I didn't mean it. I want you with me, Della Lee. I really do."
"You just needed a little push, that's all."
"Della Lee," Josie said, her voice watery and thick. She sounded like she was drowning. "I don't understand."
"I didn't know how to change," Della Lee said, and as she spoke, smudges of mascara slowly appeared under her eyes like bruises, trails of it snaking down her cheeks again, just like that first day Josie found her in the closet. "I didn't know how to be around decent people, or how to live without stealing or lying. Destructive behavior was a comfort to me, a cold comfort, because I didn't think genuine happiness was possible. So I gave up. I was standing on the bridge, and my last clear thought was of you. It was strange, because I hadn't thought of you in years. Then suddenly I was here in your closet, and it became clear to me what I had to do. Maybe by helping you, I might mean something. That makes me genuinely happy." She smiled. "You're going to be okay now, Josie." They stared at each other for a long time. Slowly, Josie lifted her hand and reached out to Della Lee to finally touch her.
"Oldsie?"
Josie jerked her head around to find Helena standing at the end of her bed. Josie stood and quickly motioned her forward.
"Helena, come here. This has to end. I want you to meet Della Lee."
She took Helena's hand, but when they looked in the closet, Della Lee was gone.
"Della Lee?"
Josie stuck her head in and searched the dark corners. Della Lee's bags and the box were still there, but not Della Lee. She pushed back her clothes, then slid back the secret door. She wasn't in the candy closet, hiding behind the bags of marshmallows or between the towers of cola.
"Della Lee!"
She turned around, her eyes searching the room. She went to her knees and looked under the bed. She got up and was heading out of the room when Helena said softly,
"She no here."
Josie turned to her, shaking her head.
"No, she's here. I know she is."
"She no here."
"How do you know?"
"The air." She took a deep breath.
"Clean."
"You knew she was here," Josie said desperately.
"You saw her, right? She was real."
"See?"
"No."
"Feel."
Helena reached up and touched the crucifix on her necklace.
"Feel Oldsie's ghost."
Josie barely made it the 2 steps to her bed. She sat down, so dizzy she had to put her head between her knees. Helena came to sit beside her.
After a moment, Josie sat back up.
I don't want to believe it, she said, tears coming to her eyes.
Helena put an arm around her and tucked Josie's head to her shoulder. She was small but strong, and she felt like gristle.
There, there, Oldsie. Dead, not dead. Dead only different. Oldsie be okay.
She started rocking Josie back and forth. Then she said in a soft, sing-songy voice over and over, Oldsie be okay. Oldsie be okay. After a while, she stopped singing and just rocked her.
Helena, Josie finally said, my name isn't Oldsie.
Helena lifted Josie's face so she could look her in the eye.
I know, Josie. And my name? Marlena.
Josie paused, looking at her strangely.
Your name isn't Helena?
No. Josie laughed without meaning to, laughed through her tears, laughed at the thought of knowing this woman for the better part of a year and calling her by the wrong name the entire time. And instead of actually correcting Josie and Margaret, Marlena purposely called them by the wrong names, too. A joke, like so many other things, that only Marlena understood. Marlena smiled as she used her thumbs to wipe away Josie's tears. Suddenly, there was a knock at the front door, and Marlena stood and went to the window. She gave Josie an enigmatic look and left the room without another word. As soon as she was gone, Josie slipped off the side of the bed and sat on the floor, bringing her knees to her chest. She finally looked into the closet and saw Della Lee's collage sitting there on the sleeping bag where Della Lee had been. She crawled over to it. Della Lee had cut out every photo from Josie's favorite marked pages. Next to the Bon Voyage at the top, Della Lee had cut out 5 more letters and put Josie. She suddenly heard heavy footsteps in the hallway. Josie, Adam called. Josie, where are you? She craned her head over the side of the bed. He stopped in her bedroom doorway. He looked worried, tense. When he spotted her, he walked around the bed. Josie, what's wrong? He knelt in front of her, putting his warm hands on her knees. The warmth seeped through her skirt and threaded through her skin. Why did you run away? Why are you crying? Talk to me. She looked up at him. The woman on the news tonight? The woman in the river?
I knew her.
He lowered himself to the floor beside her, his stiff leg not giving way easily.
Oh, honey, he said, putting his arm around her. I'm so sorry.
Adam?
Yes?
She was my sister.
Chapter 14 Now and Later.
Dear Josie, I love the postcard from Sweden, but you have to stop asking me to join you. How many times do I have to tell you I am not traveling with you on your honeymoon, you crazy woman? Everything is fine here. You can stop pretending that your visit next month is just the whim of you two world travelers. I found the ring. Jake honestly thought he could hide it behind my books in the library. The minute I walked into the room, I knew which book it was behind. Oh, Josie, it's so beautiful. I stood there and bawled like a baby when I found it. Then I heard Jake coming and put the ring back and ran to the kitchen, where I started chopping an onion to explain my tears. I ended up making this huge onion souffle, which we've had for the past 3 nights for dinner. Did I mention I hate onion souffle? I saw your mother yesterday. What is up with her and this cab driver? I see them all the time. Yesterday she was in the back of his cab, which had stopped at a red light downtown. She was talking nonstop. I didn't see her let up once. And the cab driver was smiling and nodding, but not saying a word. He was watching her in the rearview mirror. The light turned green, and he didn't even know he was so busy watching her.
Last week I went to the cemetery, like you asked, and put flowers on Della Lee Baker's grave. It's been a year and people are still talking about it. One day you're going to have to tell me why you paid for her funeral. I had a weird dream about her the other night. I dreamed you and Della Lee and I were walking down a busy street somewhere, but the road was gold, like in The Wizard of Oz. Our arms were linked and we were laughing. People were looking at us like we were movie stars. We were going somewhere, somewhere wonderful, but I didn't know where. Why am I dreaming about a dead woman I didn't even know? Is that creepy? I guess I'll go now.
No, not yet. I've been thinking about this for a while, and I want to tell you something. Something I've never told anyone. God, my hands are shaking. Okay, you know about me and books, that I have so many, that they're always around. The thing is, books just appear to me, out of nowhere. I haven't bought a book since I was 12. I'll walk into a room, and there's a book that wants me to read it. They follow me sometimes, too. I don't mean they walk after me. I mean, a book I'll leave at home will show up at work, in my car, on the table at a restaurant. I'm always worried people are going to find out and think I'm crazy. But I thought, I don't know, that you'd understand. It's midnight, and I've had too much wine, and Jake is asleep. I'm going to send this now and regret it. Just remember, if you sick the men in white jackets on me, you don't get to be my matron of honor. Love, C. Adam came up behind Josie and kissed her neck. Josie closed Chloe's email. Chloe knows about the surprise engagement party, she said, staring out at the sea as Adam moved her hair away for better access. Jake was never good at keeping secrets, he said into her skin, and it made her shiver. Josie closed her eyes. The things this man could do to her. She was still amazed. Her eyes flew back open when her laptop almost fell off her knees to the balcony floor. If you keep this up, we're not going to leave the room. Again. I want to see the ship in the daytime at least once.
Josie, get in my bed, he whispered in her ear.
That stopped working when you said it in the dining room last night in front of that elderly couple at our table. In my defense, I didn't know they were there, and it did work.
Okay, yes, it worked, but...
He laughed and straightened, his hands still on her shoulders. Write Chloe back. I'll take a shower and show you the ship in the daytime. But I don't know what the big deal is. It looks the same as it does at night, only brighter.
Brighter? She said eagerly, looking up at him.
Really? I can't wait. Brighter. Wow. He looped one of her curls around his finger and gave her hair an affectionate tug. Tell Chloe I said hello, he said, then walked back into the stateroom. Something caught Josie's eye, and she turned. Della Lee had suddenly appeared by the railing at the corner of the balcony. She was gazing out at the water. Della Lee turned her head and looked at Josie. She nodded in the direction Adam had gone and winked. Josie smiled and quickly moved her laptop aside. She got up and went to the railing beside Della Lee, just to be near her. She missed having her around. She missed talking to her. Della Lee rarely spoke these days. In fact, the last time Josie remembered her saying anything was in Las Vegas. Chloe and Jake had flown in with Adam's brother to attend Adam and Josie's wedding ceremony. Josie had met Adam's brother Brett once before, when they went to Chicago. That's when she found out Adam owned a house on the North Shore that he rented out. "This can be home base," Adam had told her, "when we decide we need it." Chloe had just walked down the short aisle ahead of Josie. Josie was about to follow, to walk to Adam at the front of the small chapel, when suddenly she saw Della Lee standing there to her left.
"Congratulations, kid," she'd said.
Sometimes months would go by without Josie seeing her, but just when Josie would start to worry that she'd gone away for good, Della Lee would always return. They stood like that for a while, both staring out at the sea. Josie didn't know how much time had passed before Della Lee turned to Josie, her brows raised, as if she knew what Josie was thinking. It was time. "Stay here," Josie said. "Don't go yet, okay?"
Della Lee nodded.
Josie went into the stateroom. She could hear the shower running, and Adam was singing Elvis Presley's A Little Less Conversation. She went to her luggage and dug out her passport wallet. Tucked into a pocket inside was a folded envelope. It was the letter from Samuel Lamar. She took it with her wherever she went, convinced there would be a right time to finally open it and learn the truth. She walked back out to the balcony and stood by Della Lee at the railing again. She stared at the plain white envelope, at her name written in a hesitant, elderly scrawl. The wind made the paper flutter in her hands. Della Lee watched her curiously. Josie toyed with the edge of the envelope flap. The glue was weak, so the flap wasn't secured tightly. It would be easy to open. Taking a deep breath, Josie tore the envelope in half, then in fourths, then eighths. She tossed the pieces into the wind, where they turned into paper birds that floated through the air, finally landing peacefully on the water. Della Lee laughed, but no sound came out. Josie smiled at her, then turned back to the water, satisfied that she'd made the right decision. When she turned back again, Della Lee was gone. She would never get used to that. She went back to her seat and picked up her laptop. Dear Chloe, we're slowly crossing the ocean toward you as I type. How do you know our coming back to Bald Slope for a visit isn't just a whim? Adam and I are all about whim. I have to say that, you know. I promised Jake, but I can't wait to see the ring. I don't understand what's going on between Mother and Raleigh. When I call, Marlena says she's happy. She says that Raleigh actually spends the night there sometimes, too, though no one is supposed to know. Maybe I'll finally talk to Mother this visit. Or maybe, like last time, she'll refuse to see me, and I'll just talk to her through the personal secretary I hired for her. I know this has less to do with me personally, and more to do with memories she won't share, memories of my father, but there's nothing I can do about it. Thank you for taking the flowers. Della Lee was a special person. I'll tell you about her someday. I promise. In fact, there's a lot I need to tell you. And about the books. I don't think you're crazy. Not at all. Josie looked up to the place Della Lee had stood. In fact, I understand completely. Love, Jay. This is Karen White. We hope you've enjoyed this production of The Sugar Queen by Sarah Addison Allen. Published by arrangement with Random House Audio Publishing Group, a division of Random House, Inc. Text copyright 2008 by Sarah Addison Allen. Production copyright 2008, Books on Tape.